Srila Prabhupada had heard of the program of his disciple Lokanath Swami, who was taking a small group of men on a bullock cart and preaching in villages throughout India. Lokanath had told Srila Prabhupada how in the course of their travels they had recently visited tirthas such as Bhadarik Ashrama and Bhim Kapoor. Srila Prabhupada was enlivened to hear this. He then evolved a transcendental desire to go himself on a cart pulled by bullocks to circumambulate the area of Vrindavan. Tamal Krishna and Bhavananda, who were serving Prabhupada with increased intimacy, felt themselves unable to support Srila Prabhupada in his desire, since they thought his fragile body could not survive such rough treatment on the roads. But Prabhupada reasoned that dying on parikrama is glorious, and he asked them to take him. A controversy developed among devotees, as some said Prabhupada's will to go on parikrama should be immediately honored as an order from the spiritual master. He wanted it. He should not be denied. The doctor, however, assured that Srila Prabhupada's body would not survive the jostling of the cart. The many devotees who crowded around Srila Prabhupada's bed held different opinions, and Prabhupada could see this. Following his request, however, Lokanath went out and hired a cart with bullocks and prepared it for the ride. Lokanath and Hamsaduta suggested that the parikrama could go to the city of Vrindavan or visit the seven main temples of the Goswamis. But then they said that since the next day was Govardhan Puja, Prabhupada could go to Govardhan Hill. Tamal Krishna, Bhavananda, and Bhakti Charu, however, protested adamantly against the parikrama. "One day experiment," Prabhupada said. "It is for one day. Rest assured, I will not die in one day." He liked the idea of going to Govardhan. "And we shall make our cooking there," he said. Lokanath Swami, he assured them, was experienced. "Make very good picnic," he said. After discussing back and forth, the devotees finally decided that early the next morning they would take Srila Prabhupada in a bullock cart to Govardhan. The majority of the devotees then left Srila Prabhupada alone for the night. Later that night, Srila Prabhupada received a visit from Niskanchana Krishnadas Babaji, who sat with Prabhupada chanting and sometimes speaking in Bengali. Suddenly, Tamal Krishna and Bhavananda came to Prabhupada's bedside. They were in tears and beside themselves with anxiety. Prabhupada understood. "You request me not to go?" he asked. "Well, Srila Prabhupada," said Tamal Krishna, "I'll tell you, I'm getting so upset sitting in the room upstairs. I was walking around. Two of the devotees told me that this road is so bad that if you go on this road, you're going to be jolted back and forth. The road is terrible. I just can't understand, Srila Prabhupada, why it has to be tomorrow that we have to go. Of anyone that wants you to travel, I do. But why do we have to go when you're in this condition? I can't understand it. Why are we throwing everything out the window that we must go tomorrow? I can't understand." "All right," said Srila Prabhupada softly, immediately agreeing to their proposal that he not go. "Jai Srila Prabhupada," said Bhakti Charu, who was also present. "Thank you, Srila Prabhupada," said Bhavananda with great relief. "All right, you're satisfied?" "Now I am, Srila Prabhupada," said Bhavananda. "Yes, I was in too much anxiety." "Never mind, I shall not put you in anxiety." "Actually, Srila Prabhupada," said Tamal Krishna, "we're so much attached to you that you practically drive us to madness sometimes. Tonight we are becoming mad." "No, no, I shall not do that," said Prabhupada. "Babaji Maharaj," Prabhupada turned to Niskanchana Krishnadas Babaji and said, "just see how much affection they have for me." Srila Prabhupada said, "Tamal Krishna, the way you deal with us simply deepens our attachment every moment." "It is my duty," said Prabhupada, and the devotees laughed warmly, understanding. Yes, they could understand. That was his duty. By all his actions and dealings, Prabhupada's intention was to capture spirit souls and deliver them to Krishna. His method was loving service, but he did not do it for himself. He was delivering them to Krishna. That was his duty. On November 14, 1977, at 7:30 p.m. in his room at the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada gave his final instruction by leaving this mortal world and going back to Godhead. His departure was exemplary because his whole life was exemplary. His departure marked the completion of a lifetime of pure devotional service to Krishna. A few days before the end, Srila Prabhupada had said he was instructing as far as he could, and his secretary had added, "You are the inspiration." "Yes," Srila Prabhupada had replied, "that I shall do until the last breathing." Prabhupada's last breathing was glorious, not because of any last-minute mystical demonstration, but because Srila Prabhupada remained in perfect Krishna consciousness. Like Grandfather Bhishma Dev, he remained completely collected and noble and grave, teaching until the end. He was preaching that lives come from life, not matter, and he was showing that one should preach with every breath he has. The many devotees who crowded the large room bore witness that up to the very end, Prabhupada remained exactly the same. There was nothing suddenly incongruous with what he had previously shown and taught them. At the time of his departure, therefore, he was teaching how to die by always depending upon Krishna. Prabhupada's passing away was peaceful. During the evening of November 14th, the Kaviraj asked him, "Is there anything you want?" And Prabhupada replied faintly, "Kuchicha nahin," I have no desire. His passing away was in the perfect situation in Vrindavan with devotees. A few months previously, a young girl, the daughter of one of Prabhupada's disciples, had passed away in Vrindavan, and when Srila Prabhupada had been asked if she went back to Godhead to personally associate with Krishna, he had said, "Yes, anyone who leaves his body in Vrindavan is liberated." Of course, Vrindavan also means the state of pure Krishna consciousness. As Advaita Acharya had said of Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are is Vrindavan." And this was also true of Srila Prabhupada. Had Srila Prabhupada passed away in London, New York, or Moscow, therefore his destination would have been the same. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, "One who is always thinking of me surely attains to me." But because Vrindavan Dham is the quintessential realm of Krishna consciousness within the universe, the ideal place for departure from this world, so it was yet another exemplary feature of Srila Prabhupada's life that he went back to Godhead with Vrindavan as his last junction. Those Vaishnavas who had taken the vow never to risk leaving Vrindavan could see that Srila Prabhupada, after sacrificing everything, including the benefit of residing in Vrindavan, to deliver fallen souls in the most God-forsaken locations of the world, had returned to the holy land of Vrindavan and from there had departed for the original abode of Lord Krishna in the spiritual sky. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, anyone who executes service in Vrindavan certainly goes back to home, back to Godhead, after giving up this body. Srila Prabhupada's departure was also perfect because he was chanting and hearing the holy names of God. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present at Srila Prabhupada's passing, just as he was at the celebrated passing of Bhishma Dev, who said, "Despite his being equally kind to everyone, he had graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor." As Lord Krishna came before Bhishma Dev, assuring him that everyone else, that Bhishma, was returning back to Godhead on leaving this body, so the Lord, in his incarnation of Nam Avatar, the Hare Krishna mantra, was present for Srila Prabhupada's departure. Srila Prabhupada's life had been dedicated to spreading the holy name to every town and village, and for a month he had been surrounding himself with the holy name. For his passing away, he especially wanted to fill the room with devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and Krishna fulfilled that wish. Srila Prabhupada therefore departed under the most favorable circumstances in the most sacred place, Vrindavan, surrounded by Vaishnavas chanting the holy name. An ideal spiritual teacher always acts in such a way that others may follow his example. As Srimad Bhagavatam states, these great souls who crossed over the ocean of birth and death by taking shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna miraculously leave the boat on this side for others to use. And Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, by its perfect example, affords all conditioned souls the means for meeting the greatest of all dangers. An auspicious death is not merely a matter of a psychological adjustment so that one may die without regret or without becoming unduly upset. The real point is that at the time of death, the soul must leave the body and take his next birth. Only the Krishna conscious soul can leave this world of birth and death and attain an eternal blissful life in the spiritual world. Therefore, one's life is tested at death. Death means the soul cannot stand to live in the body anymore. Whatever the material cause may be, the situation has become unbearable for the soul, and leaving the body causes great distress. The Shastras therefore advise us to get free from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Meeting an inauspicious death and being dragged down to a lower birth is the most fearful thing for the living being. So fearful is it that we may try to ignore death altogether. Death is painful because the eternal spirit soul is placed in the most unnatural situation. Although he is eternal and should not have to die, he's forced to die because of his connection with the material body. At death, the eternal soul is forced to leave the body for a destination he knows not. Thus, he is full of fear and suffering. The pain and fear are usually overwhelming, and one thinks only of material attachments or bodily pain. Therefore, King Kulishekar prayed, and Prabhupada often quoted, "Please let me pass away, not in some prolonged contemplation of my bodily death, but just while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. If I can meditate on you and then pass from this body, that will be perfection." Over the last months of his life in this world, Srila Prabhupada taught how it is possible to meet death step by step in Krishna consciousness. In his last days, he told one of his sannyasis, "Don't think this isn't going to happen to you." Prabhupada came into this world on Krishna's request to teach us how to live a pure life of Krishna consciousness, and that includes how to finally pass away from this world to attain the eternal life. Prabhupada underwent death in a way that was perfect and glorious, and at the same time in a way which we can all follow. When we have to go, we can cling to the memory of how a great soul left his body, always thinking of Krishna, surrounding himself with the medicine of chanting Hare Krishna, always desiring to hear about Krishna and practicing detachment from the misery of the material condition. This last lesson was one of the most wonderful and important instructions Srila Prabhupada gave us. He taught by his life, by his books, and at the end by his dying. Education in how to die is meant especially for the human being. An animal dies, and a human being also dies. But a human being is supposed to understand the process of going back to the spiritual world at the time of death. Remaining always fixed and undisturbed in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada expertly taught the process. His passing away, therefore, was a perfect lesson, and one that can be faithfully followed. While there was nothing lamentable for Srila Prabhupada in his departure from the world and going back to Godhead, it was certainly lamentable for his followers and for the people of the whole world who became bereft of the presence of their greatest well-wisher and benefactor. Srila Prabhupada had written in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport, "When the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, the disciple should cry exactly like the queen cries when the king leaves his body." At the departure of his own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada had written, "On that day, O my master, I made a cry of grief. I was not able to tolerate the absence of you, my guru." And so on November 14, 1977, as the powerful news spread around the world, those who knew and loved Srila Prabhupada were gripped by a fearful, unrestricted grief. They saw everything around them in the overwhelming atmosphere of separation from Srila Prabhupada. They turned for solace to Srila Prabhupada's books. However, the disciples and the spiritual master never separated, because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple follows the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called the association of Vani. Physical presence is called Vapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the physical body of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada's disciples were already carrying out his instructions, but now they would have to do so without the Vapu, without the opportunity of regularly seeing and being with him. At first this was very difficult for them to face, but those who were sincere soon realized that Srila Prabhupada had, upon his departure, given them the greatest gift of all, service and separation. Service and separation is the highest realization in ecstasy. This was the teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in regard to Lord Krishna and his foremost devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. When Krishna left his beloved gopis and went to Mathura, never to return to them in Vrindavan, the gopis and all other residents of Vrindavan were piteously in separation. They so much loved Krishna that they could not live without him, and to maintain their lives, they began to constantly remember and discuss his name, fame, form, and entourage. By constantly remembering him in love and by anticipating his return to Vrindavan, they achieved an ecstasy of union and separation, which Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars declare to be superior even to the ecstasy the gopis felt in Krishna's presence. Because Krishna is absolute, even remembering him or chanting his name puts the devotee into direct contact with him. But because there is simultaneously a feeling of separation from him, there is an added dimension of inconceivable simultaneous union and separation. This is the epitome of Krishna conscious realization. Prabhupada's followers knew this principle of service and separation, technically known as Vipralamba Seva. But to most devotees, it was a theoretical realization. Therefore, one can feel intense loving separation from Krishna. One must first feel intense attraction to him. But for the conditioned soul who had forgotten and abandoned Krishna and had come to the material world under the spell of Maya illusion, for him separation from Krishna is based on complete ignorance and forgetfulness. In coming to spiritual life, a neophyte first begins to awaken to the very existence of God, and as he overcomes atheistic misconceptions. Next, he comes gradually through practice to take up a relationship of service through serving the spiritual master. Intense love of Krishna and separation is the most advanced stage and cannot possibly be realized in full by the neophyte. The surface and separation had remained a theoretical teaching to many of Srila Prabhupada's followers. But when Srila Prabhupada departed from the world and left his disciples to carry on his mission, they immediately realized union with him in separation. He was gone, but he was still very much present. This realization was not a pretension or a myth, nor was it sentimental psychic phenomena, telepathy, communication with the dead, or so on. It was a complete, substantive, practical, palpable reality, a fact of life. Srila Prabhupada had given them personal service, and now they would continue that service. Prabhupada was still present through his instructions, and all the nectar of his direct association, all the nectar of Krishna consciousness that he had given and shared with them was still available. Service and separation for Prabhupada's disciples was undoubtedly a fact. Otherwise, now that they were without his personal presence, how were they able to sustain themselves in spiritual life? The fact that they could continue as before increased their feelings of devotion and even increased their serving capacity meant that Srila Prabhupada was very much still with them. As Srila Prabhupada's last instruction was the lesson of how a human being should die, he now taught beyond dying how to practically implement the higher philosophical teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This realization gave the devotees great hope that Srila Prabhupada and the revolutionary process of Krishna consciousness he had brought with him were not finished upon his departure. Often when a great personality dies, his contribution collapses, but Srila Prabhupada's presence remained and expanded, sustaining his devotees' lives. He was still in charge.